Well, good morning. Am I loud enough in the back? Good, okay. If you weren't here last week, you didn't get to see me. Aren't you glad you're here today? My name is Farrah Griggs. I'll be here with you for a few weeks. And I'm thrilled to be able to be anywhere when I can talk about God. Let's start this morning with the scripture. Last week we read the first 12 verses of Luke 24. And let's continue right there. Let's start with verse 13 this week. We're going to read about a road story. If you have your Bibles, open them and read along with me. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened while they were talking and discussing together. Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation you're holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it's now the third day since these things have happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'Oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village in which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it's toward evening, and the day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened. And they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us when he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?' And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed, and has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread." These are the words of God. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of every heart in this room and online be acceptable to you, our Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, how much did you bring in here this morning? Did you bring the week with you? I sat over there a while ago and I was all worried about my dog. My wife's not here. She's gone to play with some girlfriends, and my dog is locked up in the kitchen. I have no idea what I'm facing when I go home. She's 9 months old. She's just a puppy, but she weighs 75 pounds now. She can do some damage. But you know that's going to do what that's going to do, isn't it? Like the rest of the week. Let me just encourage you right now to just stop. Put that stuff down on the pew. Leave it alone. It'll be there when you pick it up later. Right now, let's just listen to this story together and see what it means to us and what it tells us about our Savior. Last week, we looked at the first 12 verses of chapter 24 of Luke's Gospel. What a chapter. We heard angels telling us to quit counting Jesus in the ranks of the crucified, and rather to place him as our living Savior, the conqueror of death, and the path for us to our salvation. And this week we turn to the very next passage about some happenings on the road, the day of the resurrection. The midsection of Luke 24 marks the first of three resurrection appearances as told by Luke. It's thought by many to be one of the great short stories in the Bible. And really, all you're going to hear from me this morning is a retelling of that story, and I'm not going to do any better. I might give you a couple other things to think about, but isn't it a wonderful story that we just read? Think about two guys walking down the road, and they have no idea who comes up to walk with them, and look what all happens in that 7 miles. The great Passover weekend is over. Two friends are walking home together and comparing notes and swapping stories about their trip to Jerusalem. They live in Emmaus, a town about 7 miles outside Jerusalem. They're talking about all that has happened, and it certainly was like no other Passover they had ever attended. The way they are introduced to us, it seems that they must have been followers of Jesus. One of them is identified as Cleopas. Now, who is that? We know almost nothing, but we do know, or at least we assume, that Cleopas is one of the other disciples of Jesus. There were a good many outside of the 12, and Cleopas is probably one of them. Jesus himself draws near. Now, this is Resurrection Sunday, so of course he is resurrected. He walks along the road with them, but they don't recognize him. Luke says their eyes were kept from it. Remember the story of Paul on the road to Damascus to terrorize some more Christians, and how he was struck blind, and later his eyes were reopened by Jesus. This story happened long before that, but with similar effect. Unless Jesus wants us to see, we're not going to see. We can't, even though we might be looking directly at him. We can't see him for who he really is. And that's not just on the road to Emmaus or on the road to Damascus. That's here and now. Sometimes we just aren't ready. Jesus knows that. And he will open our eyes when it's time. Sometimes he opens it a little bit. What did Paul say? Now I see through a glass dimly. He will open our eyes when it's our time. You'll be hearing more about that in the coming weeks. And Jesus says to them, what are you talking about? And they just stop dead in their tracks. They look at him as if he's just crawled out from under a rock. Are you the only visitor in town to not know what happened this week? They say to him. And Jesus comes back and says, what things? What are you talking about? So they tell him. They tell him the story. The story of Jesus of Nazareth in their tongue, in their words, in their memories. Jesus gets to hear the events and their idea of him through the words of these two followers. According to them, Jesus was a prophet, a doer of mighty acts and deeds before God and the people. And it was the religious leaders. Does that burn this a little bit? It should. Religious leaders. It was the religious leaders, the very people one would think would be the most supportive, who delivered him to his death. Jesus' followers hoped he was going to be the redeemer of Israel, but instead what they got was an execution. And the travelers go on with their story. Some women went to the tomb this morning on the third day of his death. They didn't find his body there, but they said they saw a vision of, or actually saw, angels. And they said he was alive. The angels said that. The travelers told Jesus that others had gone to the tomb to check it out, and they found it was just like the women described, but they had not seen Jesus. It was quite a story those traveling disciples told Jesus about his life and death and the events surrounding the tomb. But the story they told was punctuated with doubt and sadness. In their eyes, those eyes still prevented from seeing the resurrected Jesus, their hope had turned out to be a false hope. Jesus, the hoped for Redeemer, had died. And now his body was missing. And then Jesus told them a story. He started with Moses and traced the history all the way through the prophets. And as he did, he interpreted all the scriptures concerning himself and how his coming was prophesied. And then he called them foolish ones. It was like saying, you got all the information, why can't you process it? He said that they were slow of heart to believe, that what the prophets had predicted had indeed come to pass. And as Jesus told his story to them, their hearts were burning, but they still had no idea who he was. A long story from the disciples, and a longer story from Jesus, made for a quick passage down those 7 miles. And before they knew it, they'd drawn close to the village where they lived, and it was near evening, so they invited the man to come in and have supper with them. And although he was planning to go farther, he changed his mind, and he came in. I like road trips. I like long walks, too. Lately, I've become fond of walks through my neighborhood with Cindy. Cindy's my wife, for those of you who were not here last week. I like it with company, but you know, I like it by myself too. After a while, I find myself communing with nature. I live in an old neighborhood full of mature trees, and it makes for a really beautiful walk. And sooner or later on those walks by myself, I usually find myself in conversation with Jesus. I guess you could call it prayer, but sometimes it seems more like a conversation. He's not using words, but you know about that. I can hear him anyway. There's something about the privacy and the pace of walking or cycling without a motor. It slows me to the point where I can see and hear more clearly. Many of my reflection times come on a bike or walking, sometimes barefoot in the sand, sometimes around the neighborhood. You know, the Irish claim to have something they call thin places, where God's presence is easier to feel. For me, I think my thin places are places in my heart. They're tapped into by the quietness and slower pace of walking. Maybe that's why Jesus himself liked to escape to mountaintops and gardens to pray. Well, anyway, the road to Emmaus is the first recorded instance in Luke's gospel where our resurrected Savior appears. And this story only appears in Luke's gospel. We don't know for sure where Emmaus was. I don't think it much matters. It was 7 miles down the road. Seven signifies perfect, as you know. Maybe Emmaus was a perfect distance for a conversation such as this. It was just enough time for Jesus to both hear and tell a road story. And what a story it was. It made such an impression on those travelers, they didn't want it to end. They invited this interesting stranger to come in, have supper, stay the night. He acted as if he would go farther, but upon their urging, he went in to stay with them. Go back and read the words of verse 30. They're so close to the words spoken at the Last Supper that some have said that Jesus was again having communion. Luke says that when he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. It's the same activity with nearly the same words. But here, not unlike the Last Supper, Jesus was having a meal with friends. And here Jesus takes charge, even though he's not the host, and he blesses and breaks the bread. Now think about that. We see that all across the Gospels. Here's Jesus sitting down with us in our homes, at our supper tables, blessing us and the food, and eating a meal with us. Remember that this morning as you take communion here. The Gospels are full of examples of Jesus breaking bread with the disciples and revealing some new truth over a meal. And just as the eyes of the two disciples that evening were opened, so can our eyes be opened as well. I love the way Luke brings us the warmth of Jesus. He portrays Jesus as hosting, breaking bread with his friends, cooking a meal of fish on the shore, whether it's on a mountain or with a crowd in a room with a small group or in our homes, at our dinner tables with only us present, Jesus does it all, and he does it intimately, as though it's just for us. And each time we invite Jesus in, he brings us revelation. From the Beatitudes to Holy Communion to the simple but profound revelation that he is in our midst, that he's with us. In Luke's story, Jesus then vanished from the sight of the disciples, but not from the remembrance of their encounter. It was so profound that they immediately got up and made their way back to Jerusalem at night to tell of what had happened. And what they found on their return was that Jesus had appeared also to Simon that day. If you look at your Bible, you're probably going to see an exclamation point there. Yes, Jesus had made a point to appear specifically to the man who had so vehemently denied him just days before. Simon Peter was reunited with Jesus the very day that Jesus emerged from the tomb. And notice also Jesus no longer tied to his earthly body. He has one, but it doesn't slow him down. He's again free to be in multiple places at once. It was a busy day. That Sunday, long ago, Jesus arose from the tomb, from death itself, and what did he do? He started making rounds. Luke reports that the two from Emmaus told the 11 and those gathered in the upper room what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. No wonder we made it a sacrament. Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one of God. Of that there can be no doubt in the minds of believers. He's the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. He puts the bookends on that which we call time and history. But in between, he walks down the roads of our lives. He tells us all we need to know. He even tells us why we need to know it. And then, if we just invite him in, he will not only be with us on those high holy days when we partake of communion, but also on those summer nights when we catch hot dogs at ball games, and on those winter nights when we gather for supper at the kitchen table. Yes, he is sovereign and sits on the right hand of God, but he also wears sandals just like us. Maybe that's why we Christians like so much to get together to eat. Maybe it's just as simple as the fact that when we break bread together, we're in fellowship. And during those times, our hearts might be a little more open to the truths that he would have us see, have us feel. Perhaps he comes into full vision when we look in the eyes of those we love while we eat and drink with them around a common table, just like we're about to do. Maybe that's why when the revelation comes most clearly, or that's when, and we can forever find him in our stories like the one we've heard today, and at our tables and in our hearts. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, how many times have we looked right into your face and seen nothing? How many times have we walked by those in need and had something else on our minds, some place we had to be, something else to do? How many times have eyes looked at us that could have been you? Please, Jesus, as the song tells us, open our eyes that we may see. And we'll give you all the glory. Amen.